Seliges Wissen, Jesus ist mein, füllt mir das Herz mit himmlischem Schein. Wiedergeboren, frei von der Sünd, unseres Gottes herrliches Kind. Das muss ich singen, Jesus so ist mein Römer, einzig nur er. Licht mir und Leben, mein Sonnenschein. Oro mein alles, du nur allein. Zu deinen Füßen, o Herrlichkeit, seh ich den Himmel offen mir weit. Flutende Liebe, Ströme der Gnade, rauschen herab den himmlischen Pfad. Das muss ich singen, Jesus so er ist mein Römer, einzig nur er. Licht mir und Leben, mein Sonnenschein. O du mein alles, du nur allein. Wachend und warten, blick ich empor, bis meine Seele in sich verlor. Von seinem Wesen völlig erfüllt, werd ich verwandelt ganz in sein Bild. Das muss ich singen, Jesus so er ist mein Römer.
Praise and thanks be unto the Lord. I greet you all in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and I welcome all of you with all my heart. Feel at home. We are in great expectation that the Lord blesses us mightily again today, that He will speak to our hearts through His mighty word. For the introduction, I would like to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 from verse 1. 2 Corinthians 4 from verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine up unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Up to here, this precious and holy word of God. I like it very much. True men of God, they preached the word as they received it from the Lord. And we are grateful to God for this place, for this site, that God has chosen men here who proclaim the word in all truth. And also tonight, we are in great expectation to receive what the Lord prepared for us. Now, we would like to stand up for prayer. Almighty God, our Father in heaven, we are coming before your throne of grace with bowed hearts in the precious name of Jesus Christ. And we thank you for this mighty privilege to be here again tonight, to hear your precious and holy word. Oh Lord, speak to our hearts. Purify hearts and soul and mind, and make us living children of God by your Spirit and by your word. We ask you, anoint the lips through which you will speak, and anoint the hearts and ears who will hear your word. Bless us together, Lord, and make us ready to meet you, to meet you. Bless all, Lord, who are joined with us, and help all who have trouble. We lay everything before you, and we trust, Lord, in your mercy and in your love, that you will make all things well. To you alone be the honor and praise and adoration and the thanksgiving in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
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 Amen.
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 Thou art worthy. Let us sing, Thou art worthy.
Du bist würdig. Du bist würdig. Du bist würdig. Preis und Ehren, Ruhm und Anbetung. Du bist würdig, o Herr. Glory, glory, halleluja. Glory, glory, halleluja. Glory, glory, halleluja. Deine Wahrheit schreitet voran.
Thank you very much. Praise and thanks be unto our Lord for His grace and faithfulness, for the living hope which we have. And the hope which we have will not get ashamed. The hope will find fulfillment. Faith, hope and love, these three belong to us. Also, I would like to welcome all of you, and at the same time, I would like to give you greetings from many brethren, brethren from Romania, Italy, Switzerland, from overseas, from the USA, from England, from all over. The brethren are greeting all of us and they wish us God's blessings. In particular, from South America, up to 380 kilometers south of Santiago. And also we greet them from this place. We are happy that we can come together, that we can make use of the time, that we can redeem the time. It is a expensive time, a precious time. And as we all know, the time of grace is coming to its end. We don't want to go into the science of the time today, but so much we understood when our Lord at that time said, when you see Jerusalem compassed around, then the believers shall flee to the mountains of Judea. And the history reports that all who followed the Messiah, when they saw that the mighty armies were surrounding Jerusalem, they were leaving the city and they did not perish. And I think on the words of our Lord for this time now, when you see these things coming to pass, especially also the negotiations about Jerusalem, and you all know what I mean. When you see that all this is happening, then lift up your heads, for you know that your redemption is drawing near. In January, we had some nice meetings in Gibraltar and then also in Spain. We thank God that He is calling out and that He reveals Himself to His own. We, of course, have the same message which we carry, and we have heard it in the two words which were read. We heard it already. We do not falsify the Word of God. We leave it in the original, and we say, really, what God says in His Word. Dear Brother Branham, one time he made a statement in reference to the gift of prophecy. And he said as follows, when I would tell you, Brother Cox said this and that, but Brother Cox didn't tell me anything. I just said it like this. That's how it is sometimes with the bearer of gifts. Brother Branham claimed that he said a prophecy is only genuine if one really has heard the word of the Lord in reality. Then one can say, thus saith the Lord. Is this clear? I repeat again. When, if I would say, Brother Kramer said this and that, and Brother Kramer didn't even speak to me, this is not, it's impossible like this. But if he speaks to me, then I hear his voice, and then I repeat what he has said. The time has really come that we place everything biblically, and that God has his way with all of us. In the word which Brother Schmidt was reading, it says in verse 3, Titus chapter 1, verse 3, but has in due times manifested his word through preaching. In due time, at that time which God appointed by the preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commission of God our Savior. If there was no commission, if there was no call, if there was no commission, how could Paul have said then, which is committed unto me according to the commission of God our Savior? And then we go back to the book of Acts, chapter 9, to Acts 22, to Acts 26, and we are hearing, we hear the words which the Lord spoke to Saul on his way to Damascus. The voice sounded. He heard it with his ears acoustically. He heard it. This was then the commission to which he could refer. And the message of the hour he could bring then. The same it was with Brother Branham. The same it was with all the prophets. They heard the voice of the Lord with these ears. In the heart, we are all hearing the voice of God. Every time when he speaks to us through his word. But a commission and a calling is a totally different thing. And therefore, if we read such words here, manifested, he has manifested his word in due time by the preaching, the word which God entrusted to us is of course passed on by the preaching. And then, once again the emphasis, which is committed unto me according to the commission of God our Savior. This was not pride. This was not being puffed up. No. He just wanted to make it clear to the believers that I don't speak in my own name. I don't speak in my own commission, but in the name of the Lord and by a divine commission. Our subject is of course always the same. The return of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Redeemer, and the preparation of the bride church unto the glorious day of the return of our bridegroom. We all know, and this must be said in every meeting anew, also in our time, and to speak with Paul, in due time, God appointed times. John the Baptist came on the scene at his appointed time, at the time ordained by God. And therefore, the promises from the Old Testament became true in the New Testament. And to speak with Galatians 4 verse 4, when the time was fulfilled. Brothers and sisters, we all know that all over, in all the Christian world, they speak about Christian subjects. It's spoken about the subject of Godhead, about the subject of the Lord's Supper, about the subject baptism. The subjects are all over the same in every church and denomination. And all are saying about the same subject what they would like to say or what would fit into their doctrine. And all are saying something different for the same subject. Here, it may not be like this. Here, we must go from scripture to scripture, from the old to the new, and from the new to the old, from the Gospels to the Epistles, to the Book of Acts, to time and again receive the divine answer from the Holy Scripture. We have some scriptures which we would like to share with you. And then, today I have with me a sermon of Brother Branham. The last five sermons which Brother Branham preached in December 1965, I have chosen them to, at the first weekends, to read some things of it. The last five sermons from the mouth of Brother Branham. And I have to tell you, I am overwhelmed with what kind of precision he spoke and what kind of subjects. For instance, the subject of the rapture, how great it became for him, and how he spoke about it in detail. But before we come to it briefly, let me, because of those brethren, because of brothers who are in unrest all over the world, because of the interpretations of the scripture. Now, just briefly, let me read you some scriptures. Firstly, John 14, well known to all of us. John 14, here we have the promise which the Lord has given to us by His grace, that He would go to prepare a place and that He would come again to take us home. John 14, it actually shouldn't be read anymore. All know it. Verse 2 and 3. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. The promise and the description are clear. A place prepared. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. We are all waiting for it, that we are taken home to be with the Lord forever. As He prepared the place for us, so we also have to be prepared. We have to be ready to be when He comes as bridegroom to take His bride home. We must be ready. Now the well-known word, just touching upon it, from Matthew 25, and we really, we have to pay attention to every word. Matthew 25, here we have the text before us, from verse 1 to 13. I just read verse 10. And while they went to buy oil, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage supper, and the door was shut. In the Gospel of Mark, we have a totally different connection. There, it doesn't speak of bridegroom and of virgins. Let us read it as it is written here in Mark, in chapter 13, from verse 24. And it's just so important, very important, at the Bible teachings, to have clarity about the sequence and also to see of what it's all about. Mark 13, verse 24. But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. To make it clear now, it is about that from Mark 13, verse 35, it is misinterpreted to Matthew 25. It's interpreted to Matthew 25. And here it says the following in Mark 13, verse 35. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh. Not bridegroom. The Lord, the master of the house, cometh at even or at midnight or at the cock crowing or in the morning. With this, Matthew 25 has nothing to do at all, because now he comes after the marriage supper. And I will read it to you. It's just so important to know where does something belong. To us it doesn't matter whether he comes early in the morning or at midday. Important is that we are participating in it. And if we are spread all over the earth, then on the one side of the earth it can be morning, and on the other side of the earth it can be late evening, and somewhere it can also be midday or even midnight. The brothers, they want to divide now. They want to divide the time. Morning time lasts from this time to that, and the midnight lasts from this to that, and then it goes on like this. No. That what is written here comes to pass in one single day. Not in a period of time, but on one single day. as the return of Jesus Christ will also take place on one single day. Namely, two will lie on one bed. One will be taken. You all know the scripture. Now, especially to the emphasis, evening time. Brother Branham spoke about the evening time a few times. But let me read it to you from the prophet Zechariah in that connection, in which it belongs. But it can also be used also to our time. It can be used. But it belongs in that connection, according to Zechariah 14. Zechariah 14, I just read here, verse 3 and the first part of verse 4. Zechariah 14, verse 3, first part. And then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. Now, verse 6 and 7. And it shall come to pass in that day when this happens, verse 6, in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night. But it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. And then it says in verse 8, what will also happen when it will be light at evening time. But prophetically, one can use this word. One can speak about the evening time. One can speak of the midnight hour. One may use the biblical terms, but one may not take them out of context, but one has to leave them there where they are. For instance, in Luke 24, verse 29, the disciples said, Lord, abide with us, for it is evening time. At evening time, the Lord came into the Garden of Eden to have fellowship with Adam and Eve. And if Brother Branham speaks or spoke of the evening time, then he meant that the ending of the day of salvation, as Paul has written it in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, this is the day of salvation, and the day of salvation comes to its end. This we all understood. Only just what is it all about is the following, that nobody has the right to interpret the Bible privately and to say the time of Brother Branham was this and this, and Brother Frank's time is this time, and now is the time span for this man. This is not right. This is impossible. God completes his work. God has his plan. There's no other way. We cannot divide it in years and weeks. We have to leave it as God is doing it. And what he does, this is always done rightly. Now, four scriptures which show us how finally
von Gott aus ist, nämlich, dass alles
Namely, everything was decided from before the foundation of the world by God Himself. That we were taken into this plan of salvation by His grace. And that's what it's all about. This absolute, the full certainty, the complete certainty, that we now believe God, that we were chosen and ordained before the foundation of the world to believe the word of the hour and to participate in that what the Lord has prepared for us. There's the other scriptures in the Gospel of John in chapter 17. John chapter 17. Here we have the prayer of our Lord, known as the high priest prayer. John 17, verse 24. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou lovedst me before the foundation of the world. To this word belongs 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And here we read from verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 1 from verse 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Before the foundation of the world, when there was nothing, God decided already everything. Then we have the word here in 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse 10. To show the true believers that that what God has done, that it is valid for all eternity. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 10. Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. According as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. This is God's decision. Before the foundation of the world, God decided about this plan of salvation. Up to the book of Revelation, chapter 13. Revelation, chapter 13, it says in verse 8, Revelation, chapter 13, verse 8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, the Antichrist, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. There our faith can rest in. Before we were here, before the fall happened, before Adam and Eve were created, before the foundation of the world, God decided his plan of salvation. Before the foundation of the world, our names were written in the book of life of the Lamb. Before the foundation of the world, the Lamb of God was ordained to die for us. And that we receive in him the adoption as sons. Of what it is about now. It is about that we respect God's word, that we believe it, so that it can become true with us and through us. Let us say it openly. Whoever cannot believe, as the scripture says, will have big trouble to walk forward with God. The moment is just here now to agree with God, and that what God's word says, to take it for ourselves. And here's the wonderful word in reference to Abraham. I think it's Romans. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Here, Abraham is shown to us, the man of faith, who didn't look to the visible things, who didn't look unto circumstances, not looking on himself or on Sarah, but he looked to the invisible as he would see him, because the promise was given. Romans chapter 4. Let us just read verse 19 and 20. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He found out it was a fact like this, but because the promise was given to him. Let us read verse 20. Nevertheless, he saw his old age. He saw the impossibility, nevertheless, to speak with a psalm word. Nevertheless, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded, this is my stand and your stand. This is my and your foreordination. Although we see around us the one or the other things, yes, and perhaps we would ask the question, will it be possible? If God has given a promise, then he is watching over it, and then he fulfills what he said. Here we have it confirmed in verse 21. And being fully persuaded, that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Where do we live? Wherein do we live? We are living in the full... this is a divine gift who received God's promises and who believed them. It's a divine gift that we are fully persuaded, namely that what God promised, that he will also do it. He is able to perform. And therein our faith rests. We said it. It is about the calling out. It is about the preparation of the bride church of Jesus Christ. This is the command of the hour. This is the purpose of the word which God has given for this time. Here Brother Bram says, he was the word, and the bride must also be the word. Let me add here something. As Eve was taken out from Adam, so the sight of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the bridegroom of our souls, was opened on the cross of Calvary. The blood gushed out, and the bride came out from his side by the power of the redemption which happened on the cross of Calvary. And therefore, Paul in Ephesians chapter 5, he could write, we are flesh of his flesh. It continues, Brother Bram says, one word must be added to the other word. Justification, which Luther preached, the sanctification, which Wesley preached, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, which was preached by the Pentecostals, the restoration of the gifts, and everything else belongs to it. One word must follow the other word. Germ upon germ, life to life, so that the bride can be found in the perfect image of Jesus Christ. Brother Branham, most probably he was thinking that everything brings forth after its own kind. That's how it is written already in Genesis. In every plant, in every seed, there was already the germ of life. And everything what was sown and planted brought forth after its own kind. And here it is about that we really, by the new birth, from the Word and by the Spirit, become sons and daughters of God, and receiving our adoption as sons. Then Brother Branham continues, you remember, you were an attribute, you were already a part. After we found out these things, and we know that Christ comes for his bride. There's only the question now, how do we come into his bride? The question is, how do we become the bride? He is bridegroom. How do we become the bride? The bride church, how? Then it says here, this is the question. Many are saying, Come to our meetings. The other ones say a certain kind of baptism. The other ones say against something. The ones are saying, you must speak in tongues. Otherwise, you didn't receive it. The others are saying, you don't have to speak in tongues. The ones are saying this, and the others are saying that. And the other ones are saying, you must dance in the Spirit. You must and must. You have to rejoice to receive it. You must have a sensation. And then we are at the question. Not what do the people say. This was also in Matthew 16. This was the question. What do the people say? Who the Son of Man is? And then came various answers. And then there came one single right answer. And this answer came by the inspiration, by revelation, by God Himself. Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And that's what's all about today. Brother Brandon continues here. This is all good, but nevertheless, it's still wrong. How can a man or a woman, a child of God, which is born of the Spirit, how can it deny the Word of God? It's impossible. Here, one more question. How can a man or a woman, a child of God, which is born of the Spirit of God, how can it deny the Word of God? If God Himself confirms it and fulfilled it, what He said. It continues. That's it. This is it. I promised it, saith the Lord. And I showed it to you. I made it clear. And it takes place. They have to acknowledge it. How could Christ deny His own word? If Christ is in you, then He, of course, cannot deny His own word. This is very clear to us. So, biblical subjects must be set forth biblically. No interpretation, no explanation. Just what does the Scripture say? And Brother Branham rebukes all a bit here. Today, we are not asked today what concerns all the charismatics or what concerns the other fellowships who have their own programs. Today, the Lord speaks to us. And we are coming from various denominations. And there's really only one common denominator, and this is God's Holy Word. And this must be revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. Then, Brother Branham again asks a question. How do we come into this body of Christ? In 1 Corinthians, in chapter 12, it says, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. By the baptism of the one Holy Spirit. If you want to note it down, it is 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, verse 13. By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. The Spirit is the life of Christ in us. That's right. The life of Christ, the life of every seed, brings the seed to life. and he is the word seed. And then Brother Branham asks, did you understand it? I want to go one step further. Did we understand it? Did we experience it personally? Could God visit us in such a way that really His work of redemption has happened in us? Receive it by faith. Accept it. Tonight, it's a special evening, and no one of us will go out empty-handed. The Lord God decided not only to speak with us and to show us the seriousness, He decided to bless us. Now, on the next page it says, I read, he speaks of the tree, if this tree brings forth an original branch, if it's an orange tree, it will bring forth oranges. If God ever does something in the church, then it will agree with the original word. It must be this way, because the life is in the tree and brings forth after its own kind. And then Brother Branham comes to John 15. You all know that the big church, in the course of history, she bear the fruits. And if when the branches didn't bear fruit, they were cut off. John 15, not the vine was cut off, but he only cut off these branches which didn't bring forth fruit anymore. Of course, in view of older denominations, older Christian fellowships, which were bringing forth fruit one day, which came forth by a revival, but the reminding, the memory to the revival doesn't help Methodists or Baptists or Pentecostals. These revivals don't help us. We need today the presence of God and the working of the Holy Spirit. This we need today. Then it continues here. Jesus wants to have fruit for himself. Then it says here, his bride, his church, must bring forth such children as he is. Therefore, the word seed is sown into the church so that sons and daughters of God can be born again, can come forth, as written here. And then, if these are not such children, if they are not word children, if they are not brought forth in such a way, then these are children of denominations. Yes, and this is right. What good is all the membership in some kind of denomination? The Lord says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. And that's what's all about. That really the divine life can be manifested in our lives. Now comes something very important. And here Brother Branham refers to Enoch, who was raptured. The subject is, of course, the rapture. Firstly, Brother Branham says here, God's word is the original. It is the Word, and it must be manifested at God's appointed time. To the time appointed by the Father. It must bring forth after its own kind. Now the question, how do we come into the church? Once again, by one Spirit are we all baptized into this one body. Which is the bride, the word. Both. Church, body, word, and bride. And now we're coming to a very critical point. And I read once again. Now we want to see whether we are living in the last age or not. If we read in Genesis 5, or also the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 3, then we can see that Enoch was the seventh of Adam. And then Brother Bram says, I don't like it so much, but I don't want to leave it out. There, Brother Bram says, here we are touching upon the seed of the serpent, because Cain, if Cain would have been the son of Adam, then Enoch should have been the eighth. It's not written in one scripture that Cain was the son of Adam. The Bible says that he was of the wicked one. 1 John chapter 3, verse 12. Adam was of course not the wicked one, but Cain was of the wicked one. Now, this passage here, we have seen that Enoch was the seventh from Adam. It was a picture, a symbol to this church age. The six before they died. But Enoch, the seventh, was translated. Enoch was raptured. This is a hint toward that the rapture will happen in the seventh church age. And there's no doubt about it, that we are now living in the seventh church age. And here Brother Bram says, this we all know. Yes, this is right. We know it. For all who are not so much familiar with it, I want to read it to you from the Bible, that you once for all know that it is the truth. And I take now some scriptures, just very briefly. Genesis chapter 5. From verse 1, just verse 1, then verse 3. Verse 1, this is the book of the genealogy of Adam in the day that God created man. In the likeness of God made he him. Verse 3, and Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth. Number 3, verse 6. And Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos. Number 4, verse 9. And Enos lived 90 years and begat Canaan. verse 12, and Canaan lived 70 years and begat Mahalalel. Number 6. In verse 15, and Mahalalel lived 65 years and begat Jared. Number 7, and Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years. Enoch the seventh from Adam. Now we go to in the Old Testament, we go to Chronicles. Chronicles. Chronicles chapter 1. First Chronicles 1, verse 1. Here's the list. Adam, Set, Enos, Canaan, Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch. And then comes Methuselah, Lamech, and Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. In the New Testament, we have the list backward. In Luke chapter 3, in the last verse. Luke chapter 3, last verse. Here it says the following. Yes, perhaps we read verse 37 and 38, which was the son of Methuselah, which was the son of Enoch, Jared, Mahalalel, Canaan, Enos, Set, Adam, and then comes God. It's really in not one registry. And if you want to read it in the New Testament, in Jude, it's also written there. Enoch, the seventh from Adam. For us, this is not a point of arguing, but it shows us the line, the lineage. It shows us who goes back to God, who goes back to Adam, and how shall it be placed? Jude, it's only one chapter, verse 14. Jude, verse 14. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. Let us leave this subject and let us come back briefly to what it is about now. In particular, in the sermon, The Rapture, Brother Branham spoke very clearly. Here he spoke with emphasis, with emphasis. And why? So that no one of us misses the goal, but that we all reach the goal, that we all make the experiences with God, and by faith are walking forward, as we read from the book of Romans. Let us do as Abraham did, not looking to the visible things, not looking unto our body, not unto the body of others, not on our weaknesses, not on the weaknesses of others, not on our mistakes, not on the mistakes of others, but let us look to Him who gave the promise, so that we are not getting ashamed, but that we believe with all our heart, that we receive and reach our goal, namely to be ready at the return of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Bridegroom. Please remember the four scriptures which deal with that we, before the foundation of the world, were chosen God's inheritance by foreordination, predestination, according to the plan of salvation, which He decided from before the foundation of the world. And this is unchangeable, irreversible. That's how God decided it. That's how God decided it. And that's how it will be throughout all eternity. And if our Lord says, I go to prepare a place for you, and I come again to receive you unto myself, then He comes again. Then He has prepared the place. And now He calls us out. He prepares us so that we, when He returns, that we are going into glory with Him. Now for all the brothers who have trouble to distinguish this, I just read, in closing, I read two scriptures. The one from 1 Corinthians chapter 4, where the return of Jesus Christ, our Lord, is described. When He comes in the clouds, or when He will take us up into the clouds. Oh, 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17. Yeah. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we be forever with the Lord. The rapture will not be a doctrine. The rapture will be a fact. The Lord will return. The trump shall sound. The voice of the archangel will sound. And He will return. Then we have in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, it says, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. The other coming, where it is not about bridegroom and bride, not about the marriage supper, we have in the next chapter, 2 Thessalonians, in chapter 1, and here, from verse 7. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is, of course, a totally different coming. It has nothing to do with the return of Jesus Christ and with the bridegroom who takes his bride home. Nothing to do. So, may our brothers see that God's word must be divided rightly, that it has to be placed there where it belongs, bringing it into the right context. Matthew 25 has its place ordained by God. And also Luke 12, Mark 13, all Bible scriptures have their place. We just have to read it slowly and getting it revealed to know where does something belong. Did you notice it? Here in 2 Thessalonians, it says only about the word coming. In 1 Thessalonians, it says about the return of our Lord. I come again to take you unto myself. There are key words in the Holy Scripture. And these key words we must find to see the mystery, to have access to the mystery. Let us read this verse again. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Unto the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. We believe it. As it is written, that's how it will take place. Brothers and sisters, be of good courage. Brother Branham had to bring this serious message so that we are wakened up, so that we work out our salvation with fear and trembling, that we make our experiences with God, so that no one is missing when the Lord takes his own home. Everything at its time. And as we read it in Titus, at the appointed time. What a mighty word, also for our time. Please, read it all once again. At the appointed time. It's written here. I read it once again. Titus 1, verse 3. Before it speaks of the elect of God, may we read from verse 1? I, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. This is a powerful summary. And it's so true that it's so nice that it is true. Verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began. Before the foundation of the world, he promised. Before time began, he promised. And then, but has in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commission of God, our Savior. Brother Branham had a direct commission, a call, and a message. And this message, with all the promises, with everything that goes with it, after his going home, was carried into all the world. We are witnesses of this, and we are grateful that God also for our time has a word for our time. And now by the preaching, the whole counsel of our God is being proclaimed and preached as it was decided from before the foundation of the world. Brothers and sisters, let us say it in the name of the Lord. To us, the lot has fallen. The Almighty God, in our time, He visited us. He came down. He remembered His covenant. He remembered His word. He remembered His promises. He remembered His people. And He visited us graciously. And the last message, He has given it to us. The message of calling out and of preparation of the bride church unto the glorious day of the return of Jesus Christ our Lord. The Lord God, bless us and be with all of us. Amen. Amen. Let us stand up for prayer. Perhaps we have some who have requests which we can bring to the Lord. Who has a special prayer request? Also, this goes with it, that those who are heavy laden and labor, that they come into the Lord. Not only teaching, not only the word of prophecy, but also evangelization, the proclamation of the full gospel of Jesus Christ, our Lord. The salvation of the soul, the deliverance of the spirit, the healing of the body, everything happened for us on the cross of Calvary. The work of redemption is finished. Nobody needs to get lost, but all can come to the Lord. All can find grace. All can believe His word and make their calling and election and predestination sure. Renewing their covenant with God and dedicating their lives fully to the Lord. This is the day which the Lord has made for us. Let us sing this chorus now. Let us sing prayerfully. This is the day.
Dies ist der Tag, den der Herr gemacht, den der Herr gemacht. Dies ist der Tag, dies ist der Tag, den der Herr gemacht. Lasset uns froh und dankbar sein, lasset das Wort und den Geist hinein. Dies ist der Tag, dies ist der Tag, der Herr gemacht, für uns gemacht,
made for us.
In der Tat noch einmal sagen,
and we can say it again, Lord, abide with us, for it is evening time. The time is far spent. The midnight hour is here. And the morning comes, as written in the prophet Isaiah 21. Watchman of the night. Watchman of the night. The morning is coming, but it is still night. Oh, how grateful we could be, we can be. Brothers and sisters, now I want to tell you all over the world how thankful we can be that we read, that we hear the word of God in reverence, that we read it and preach it in reverence, and that God's word has become so precious to us and has been revealed to us into the smallest details by His grace. God, of course, used the apostles 2,000 years ago. In our time, He used Brother Branham to bring us back to the original, to the beginning, and to bring us into conformity with the Word of God. Right at the end, the bride and bridegroom must agree. Word and Spirit must agree. And to speak with 1 John chapter 5, verse 7 or verse 8, these three are one: the Word, the Spirit, and the blood. And the Spirit works in the blood-bought flock. It reveals the Word and leads us from clarity to clarity. We're just very, very grateful to God. Very, very grateful. At His appointed time, He manifested His Word, revealed at the end of the time of grace, opening our eyes for the fulfillment of Bible prophecy, opening our eyes for the message of the hour, opening our hearts to receive everything what He has to say to us, getting it revealed by the Holy Spirit. Our God is a faithful God. To Him belongs all the honor and praise, now and forever. Let us sing, "We give all the glory to Jesus."
Und verkündet seine Liebe, und verkündet seine Liebe. Wir geben die Ehre nur Jesus, und verkündet seine herrliche Liebe. Ich lieb ihn, ich lieb
ihn. I love him.
Das teure Gotteslamm, das mich geliebt und für mich starb am Kreuz.
Während wir die Häupter geneigt
haben, as we have our heads bowed,
in unseren Herzen,
as we are seeking the fellowship with our God, and as we find it, you all know, brothers and sisters, in the sermon, God speaks to us through His Word. In prayer, we speak with God because of the sermon which we heard. Let us remember Abraham. He didn't look to the invisible. He was fully persuaded that God, what He promised, that He will also perform. And it's written, He staggered not through unbelief. Doubt brings forth unbelief and leads into error. Faith and belief is the victory power. And so we believe, as the Scripture says, and we will experience the victory of God. All the enemies will be made the footstool of the Lord. Jesus Christ, the victor, the overcomer, who conquered death, who conquered hell, He will have His victory and manifest His victory in His church. That's how it is decided in the counsel of our God. And so we thank the Lord God that it is no coincidence what God is doing, But that it's a decision which God made before the foundation of the world. Also that we now hear the word appointed for this time, the divine message, with all the promises, with everything, what goes with teaching and prophecy, what goes with it. All this, God has given it to us by grace. Brothers and sisters, I'm asking, did people teach at this place, or did God teach us by His Word and by the revelation of His Spirit? God did it, because His Spirit rules in our midst. His Spirit reigns in our midst. Also now. Also now. Let us sing, Come from on high. Come, Spirit of the Lord.
Komm aus der Höhe. Komm, Geist des Herrn. Rausche und wehe, oh, bleib nicht fern. Rausche und wehe, oh, bleib nicht fern. Göttliches Feuer, falle herab. Du uns teuer himmlischer Gott. Du bist uns teuer himmlischer Gott. Alle zusammen tauf aus der Höhe. Das heilige Flammen an uns zu sehen. Das heilige Flammen an uns zu sehen.
Before we pray together, let me ask whether we have special prayer requests which we can bring before the Lord. Please raise your hands if it is like this. Time and again, there are prayer requests which we can bring to the Lord God. We want to do it by faith. The sacrifice was given. Jesus Christ, as the high priest, went with his own blood into the Holy of Holies, has laid the blood upon the mercy seat. There's nothing anymore what can condemn us or accuse us. We are acquitted by the blood. The letter of requirements is torn into pieces. Just say with all your heart, the letter of requirements is torn to pieces. We are pardoned. God accomplished His work. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you with all our hearts for your precious and holy word. We thank you, O God, that you, before the foundation of the world, that you decided the whole plan of salvation, and that we in this time, that we were placed into this plan of salvation. What a grace, what a privilege, what a blessing. Lord, have thine own way Answer all the prayers. Save, heal, deliver, bless, baptize, baptize with the Holy Ghost and fire. Fulfill your word now. Oh God, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glorify His holy name. Thank God. Thank God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Let us sing together.
Oh,
it is Jesus. Oh, it is Jesus.
Oh, es ist Jesus. Oh, es ist Jesus. Oh, es ist Jesus. Nur allein. Ich hab berührt den Saum seines Kleides und sein Blut, es wusch mich
rein.
Now we want to pray for all the ministering brethren that God gives them clarity, that they rightly divide the truth. Faithful God, you have manifested your word in due time. You have revealed all the mysteries. And we pray for unity, of the brethren who are ministering with the word, for unity in the church of Jesus Christ. Precious Lord, make an end to the work of the enemy. Make him the footstool, your footstool. Oh, you Victor of Calvary, have your own way with your church. Bless in all tongues, in all peoples, all over the earth. Thy will be done in heaven as on earth. Have thine own way with your people all over the earth. In Jesus' holy name.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise sei Gott im Herrn.
Praise God.
Praise sei Gott im Herrn.
Praise God.
Mögen alle weltweit gesegnet sein.
May all be blessed worldwide.
Auch hier vom obersten Norden.
Also here from the far north, from Finland to Palermo, just all over.
Vom Schwarzen Meer bis
from the Black Sea to the Mediterranean Sea. May all be blessed. May all be blessed in the name of the Lord, in all peoples and tongues. Because the gospel shall be, of course, preached to all nations. And this happens now by grace. To him, the Almighty God. I'm honest. I don't know how we can thank Him. Thanking Him for the great privilege to live now and to belong to the small elected flock. This is election. This is predestination. This is the proven grace of God in our lives. Brothers who minister with the word in all the neighboring countries, the Lord God bless you. May he bless all our brothers worldwide for the glory and for the praise of his holy name.